Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I'm Mike Schwartz, a man whose research has failed him this week. I'm joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who just want to get this out of the way and enjoy this rare, warm Michigan day. We are watching The Master Builders, episode 12 of season 2. I wanted to circle back to our discussion with Stephanie Cook last episode. We were talking about the drunk Decepticons and writer David Wise's writing technique of recycling themes and premises from his scripts from other shows. It made us wonder if he applied the drunk villain scene to Skeletor when Wise wrote for He-Man. Well, Microbots does feature a recycled idea from the He-Man and Masters of the Universe episode Day of the Machines, where a character shrinks down to sabotage an evil computer/robot, but nothing with Skeletor getting high on his own supply. However, the internet seems to have fixed that with a multitude of drunk Skeletor memes. Look, kids, he's putting martini olives in his eyes.
Is Skeletor supposed to be scary? He's hilarious.
Wouldn't the alcohol just pour out behind his lower jaw?
Okay, I'm shutting down this image search before we see something that may scar you for life.
Oh, nah! Ah!
This week, Sean Dove is joining us. Sean is an illustrator, designer, and artist of the three-book graphic novel series BroBots. Check out all of Sean's work at andthankyouforflying.com. But first, listen to this episode. Written by David N. Gottlieb and Herb Engelhart and airing on October 8th, 1985, this is The Master Builders. All right, we are here to discuss The Master Builders. Nothing to do with Lego. But anyway, we are here with Sean Dove. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. I would assume, based on your artwork, Transformers was maybe a big part of your life growing up?
Yeah, it was. I really loved the show growing up and had way too many of the toys. I was a lucky only child, so I was definitely spoiled with all those Transformers.
What was your most prized Transformers toy as a kid?
Well, now that I'm saying it, of course, I'm blanking on their name. The Autobot jet guys, the ones that all combine, it was like the Concorde.
Superion.
Yeah. He was a much prized for me when I was a kid.
I only had two pieces of him. Now we're reading the Marvel comic, and we just read with Superion. And Emmett, you tried to remember the individual names. Can you do it?
Silverbolt's the center, Fireflight's the red one, Slingshot's the small one, Air Raid is the gray one, and Skydive is the black jet.
Oh, I think. That sounds right to me.
Nice.
But for the life of me, I cannot remember the Stunticons.
Well, I have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I always liked the black one. He had like a red stripe on him or something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I always thought he was really cool.
Speaking of which, I even have a knockoff in the basement.
Ooh.
Mackinac Island.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Maybe like third scale? He's really tiny, but...
Oh, yeah. Super duper tiny.
Looking at your art on Instagram, what is your Instagram account?
It's and thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you have... I love what you've been putting up, but they're very... they're teases. They seem like you post some things of sort of like a Super Sentai guy, kind of like an old school with the scarf, and then you have these really cool illustrations of like a Minya, like a Son of Godzilla running around on kind of a monster island. Are those pieces of projects you're working on, or they just kind of, you know, like
maybe?
Okay.
No, it's kind of a, you know, with COVID and just the last couple of years, and I went through a bunch of things. I had like some medical problems, and then we had a kid, and then, you know, we got married before that, and just a lot of projects got started and then kind of got backburnered. But the Super Sentai thing, that thing is actually pretty close to being done. That one's called Awesome Force.
Okay.
And it's sort of like just my take on like a Power Rangers Sentai kind of thing. And I have that mapped out for a while, but I think I'm just going to do kind of one issue and kind of just put that out and see how it does, you know, for fun. And then the the sort of like a Godzilla monster kind of thing. That's kind of a project I'm kind of shopping around at the moment. I'm trying to find a good home for it. But yeah, hopefully some of those come up.
Oh yeah, no, they look great. Now the monster stuff, are you working on Procreate for that?
Yeah, it's like a mixture. So for the most part, that stuff's all Procreate, and then occasionally Photoshop for certain things at this point.
Yeah. How do you like working in Procreate? I ask because I've been working in that for quite a while now in my own project, mostly with inking.
Yeah, it's great for that.
Yeah. I'm now in the point where I'm coloring in Photoshop. I'm just a little more comfortable. And there's like a weird profile.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite translate, especially when I'm working in CMYK, because I want to make sure that everything prints
so
properly,
much
but
faster in Photoshop. Like there's just so many little tricks you can do to get through things in a way that you just can't in Procreate still.
Yeah.
But I love it for inking. It's almost getting there for, like, I kind of rate programs on if I can think on it or not think, I guess. So like Photoshop, I can actually, I don't know if it's just a screen size thing, but I can kind of make ideas and plan in Photoshop. And Procreate is really good for like executing those things. So I love it for inking and kind of like getting the thing as close as done as possible.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, we'll get to the episode in a minute. But yeah, I'm kind of the opposite. Like I love Procreate because I almost with like the zooming and pinching and rotating, like I feel like a Minority Report or something. It's like that's kind of when I need to sort of hash out an idea. Like I really use that to just kind of keep refining it and breaking it down. And then if it is going to be something that's maybe a little bigger project, then I'll kind of take all those bones and then put it into Photoshop. And Photoshop is almost like sort of like the finishing touches kind of construction program for that. But
for sure. Yeah. I think the hard part for me in Procreate is like comics just aren't there yet for me there. I need so many more layers than it's willing to give me.
That's a big issue too.
But I have been good about, I've become a master of just like combining layers, which before was almost impossible. In Photoshop, I would just be like, well, this is another line. It's another layer.
Oh, yeah. And you know, don't bother labeling them. You'll figure out which line it is.
Just throw it into a folder at some point.
Yes. Oh, this hurts. This is getting too real.
Speaking of comfort and things, we open on a windshield and see Powerglide.
Okay,
comfort in the sky.
You're becoming a master at transitioning. Cut the chatter. Let's get into the episode.
That's what I do when waiting for you two to finish.
That is totally fine, Emmett. Thank you. Okay, so let's get into the master builder. So yeah, we open with a dogfight. We have Power Glide, and he's instantly assaulted by Starscream and Skywarp. And Starscream blasts him out of the sky.
Yeah, he doesn't put up much of a fight.
So after that thrilling action scene, we move to the main characters of the story, which is, it's quite a swerve from lately, because maybe they were episodes they didn't quite finish for season one, but they've been kind of the core season one guys. But this we have Grapple and Hoist, the chunky boys. I love how they're drawn.
The two least proportionate Autobots in the cartoon. I actually have both of them on my shelf right now.
I love Hoist's weird giant head.
Yes. I know, because he has to turn the entire thing to look around.
He doesn't have to, but he does. If there's a crane arm attached to that, I'm not sure how he doesn't have back problems.
Oh yeah, he's yeah, it'd be like a long braid.
He has no back, but he has a belly.
Yeah. Sean, have you watched Transformers Animated? Like the series kind of mid-late 2000s?
Yeah, yeah. I had a bunch of those toys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when we go to the convention in October, I gotta look for those. Yeah, we recently watched it, and just looking at a still photo right now, especially hoist. His proportions are very much like in the animated style.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved, I'm terrible with names today, the green guy in the Bulkhead. Animated one. Bulkhead, yes. He was, yeah. His toy is amazing, too. He's so accurate to the show.
Mm-hmm. They just released a brand new Bulkhead.
A mix of two.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing like a new legacy three. Line.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of took his animated form, because he was an animated in Transformers Prime, and they kind of made him a little more like if he were to be a G1 figure. And he's kind of like a big square, like a big old cube.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, he's cool. So Hoist and Grapple, they're working on kind of his dream project.
A tiny little science project. The two British builders and the science project.
Yeah, they have this table, which he has like a little work lamp, and he's got a screwdriver and a chair. And he's working on a solar device. Now, that is something we are very accustomed to seeing, especially in season two.
One could destroy the universe. The other is just meant for gigawatts of energy.
Yeah, this is the third solar device we've seen. Megatron built one in Africa a few episodes ago. And then there was the
satellite.
Yeah, the solar satellite. And that was the episode Mike Norton joined us on, where at the end of it, the satellite successfully deployed,
so, and yeah, they said infinite energy.
Yeah, the satellite was supposed to provide solar energy to the entire world. So they never followed up on that. But we should be, the Transformers world should be living in a completely energy-free society.
I feel like all these shows kind of had their special generator thing that did something, like power-wise. Like G.I. Joe had the what was that device? The mass device or whatever.
The mass device. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They all have their like week to week device that needed to show up.
There are so many of them in Transformers. So many.
And then when Hoist and Grapple are trying to show off their creation and model, they make a marching band noise.
Oh yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, I like it. They kind of march it for approval, like they're going on Shark Tank or something. And I like how Wheeljack is kind of like, hey, looking good, guys.
I really liked the little light just auto adjusts to like focus on the solar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Has like a little life of its own. You're like, is that also a Transformer?
Oh, it could be. Yeah. So they wheel it in front of Optimus, and here's Optimus may not be the best leader in this episode. He seems to be preoccupied.
Yeah, like he's so casual.
Yeah, preoccupied with basketball.
Can't you see I've got a game going on?
Yeah, he's in the arc and Spike is running around like a fool trying to teach Optimus how to dribble. He says drool. And he flings a ball back at Spike and nearly knocks him over, probably crushes a few ribs.
He definitely murdered him on accident. Yes.
He just falls over so quickly, and then he gets right back up like, hi, guys.
Yeah, it was like one frame of him getting hit and then just being on the floor. And this is, it was a few episodes ago. It was it Atlantis Arise?
Atlantis Arise. They were playing football.
They were playing football. Spike had a custom football jersey that said Spike on the front, and he was teaching the Autobots how to play football. And they had a full field, and as we'll see later on, they tore that up and made a basketball court.
Yeah, it feels like Optimus is really trying to impress Spike, and then everyone else is trying to impress Optimus. Like this weird like circle of impression.
Right. Yeah, and Optimus has this line, just what does your doohickey do? Again, kind of with the Shark Tank analogy, he asks kind of follow-up questions like, okay, this is good. I'm willing to invest, but what's your plan in case Decepticons attack? Which, you know, is a little potkill because the Autobots never have a plan for the Decepticons invading the Ark. They still haven't put up a front door or closed off the top.
You know what? Maybe they could have put this in the top.
Yeah, just as a cap.
It's a giant cork.
Yeah, they could have put this on the top. It would generate solar energy, and it would finally prevent Laserbeak just from flying in. So Grapple doesn't have an answer, and then Optimus kind of does the hand on the shoulder, like, I'm sorry, I can't approve this. And Grapple's depressed. He even said that earlier. With some issues, not getting the approval of his boss, kind of looked down upon. This is his dream project. So as his hopes are dashed, Optimus gets a distress call, condition magenta.
I think that means code red.
We work on a CYK warning system. And they send Grapple and Hoist to go fix Power Glide, who was shot down in the first 3 seconds of this episode, and now we're back to him. And again, it's I feel sad for Grapple because he's like, maybe I should give up building this. I should just be a grease monkey. So
that was funny. They fix him and then he just flies away. Like there's no like gratitude, really. He's just like, bye.
Thanks, guys.
I'll give you a ride back home.
I thought of a catchphrase for this episode. British builders build big building.
Oh, yeah, they do kind of have. Right. Like usually Autobots sort of had like kind of a New York accent.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Southern kind of, you know, Ironhide has kind of the Southern drawl. But yeah, these guys
kind of folksy. They get a little folksy here and there.
Well, also like Perceptor, because Perceptor has an English accent too.
But so he's smart.
Maybe it's just like all the smart guys are English. Mm-hmm. All the tough guys are from Brooklyn. Yeah. A cartoon shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
Power Glide flies away and they're showing themselves home. But then I like to, again, in the artist's mind, he's like, well, maybe we don't need the approval. We'll do it ourselves. And then they stumble upon the Constructicons.
No, the Constructicons make a noise, so they stumble on them.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we don't know what the Constructicons are doing in this gorge.
Or the rock. I had a note, Spy Rock. Wait, Rock Lords?
And then they just immediately attack and they bury Hoist and Grapple in concrete and bury them in rocks. And then we go to a first commercial break.
Trust us, but here's some guns we're going to point at you.
They're trying to make a deal. They tell them that...
Let's make a deal.
They tell them that they've kind of left Megatron. Maybe Megatron was kind of being like Optimus. He wasn't supportive of their projects. And that they're going to work together.
They actually sort of seem genuine too at first. Like,
I know
it feels like they really flip only when Megatron is like, "What are you guys doing? We saw you."
Yeah, because the Insecticons have been in a few episodes already, and they're very clearly
problems.
The problems they work on their own. They don't like to work with Megatron. They're mm-hmm. in a way kind of like the Dinobots, where they're right. sort of the ancillary group. And yeah, I thought I was fooled too.
They're like, we're cars. We're all cars here.
Maybe they were genuine until Megatron showed them the tape, and Megatron and Starscream are watching the TV that just kind of records everything, and he thinks he's been had. But also Grapple, he agrees to make the deal. They also kind of sweet talk him. They're like, "Oh, back on Cybertron, your builds, they were works of art." Yeah, the Constructicons, they're more like they're the laborers. Like they'll get the job done. Tell them what to do and they'll do it. But Grapple's the architect. He has the vision. Constructicons get back to their base and Megatron calls them out. And they're like, "Oh no, we were just eavesdropping." And they find out they're gonna build a solar machine, and Megatron's like, "Ooh, solar machine! I gotta have. I've been trying to build that for two or three episodes." So Grapple's happy. They're gonna go through with this, and then it transitions to an actual human construction site, and these humans seem to be building this giant skyscraper in the middle of nowhere.
I don't think that's a very good idea.
Like there's a mountain range behind them and nothing else. Like, what are these guys doing? What's their story?
At first I thought they were just going to modify that building that they had already started.
Same here.
Yep.
But no, the Constructicons come in and they wreck the place. And the like the foreman, he's freaked out. He's like, "But who's driving?" And the Constructicons transform and they take the materials.
And then the guy cries.
He kind of loses his mind.
He does. Yeah, it's like sometimes humans are like completely accepting of Autobots and Decepticons being in their world, and then some characters have never seen them before, mm-hmm. and completely freak out. Like he tears up his blueprints. Like he's he's completely done. He's retired. He's gone crazy. So now with the materials, they begin to build his dream project, his work of art. They show them kind of the wireframe, and Grapple's kind of standing there, and he's like, I need a place to sign my name in very large letters.
Yeah.
It's the ego of the artist.
He's kind of making t-shirts before the band. Like, he's already thinking about signing it.
And then, memes.
Oh, yeah.
Memes galore.
We go back to the Autobots' fully completed basketball court, where it's Inferno. It's Inferno Tracks.
Season 2 gang.
Yeah, the season 2 guys.
Smokescreen.
And I just love this contrast because, you know, Grapple and Hoist, they're totally in it. They're in their studio. They're making their works of art. They're totally on their own. And then it goes to Optimus, like, just doing the most frivolous thing. It's a giant robot playing basketball.
And then they're just like, I haven't seen Grapple and Hoist recently. They're like, yeah, bet he's fine.
Yeah, he ran away. Bet he's fine.
Yeah, and then Optimus is like, check out my awesome reverse dunk.
What's this basketball court made of that can just take these robots? Pound and
grass.
Yeah, the weird thing, yeah, it's green. So, like, maybe, is it AstroTurf like a tennis court?
Repurposed.
Yeah, maybe they just painted over the football field.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's only when Trax gets dunked on that he kind of got hurt that Optimus is like, hey, he needs to be fixed.
Let's need a Band-Aid.
Yeah, let's get Grapple and Hoist. Hey, where are they? Grapple is seated at a desk. Did they take over the human construction site?
They just upscale everything?
Yeah, it's like they picked up their little office. Yeah, he's got a desk and a little kind of like schedule on the back wall, and he's consulting with the Constructicons. And then it's sort of a montage where Grapple begins to lose faith in the Constructicons.
No, you have to weld.
Yeah.
Do nothing.
I couldn't really understand if they were like playing games with him or if they were serious, because the game didn't really make sense if they were messing with him. It was just sort of, you're like, what are they trying to pull over on them?
Yeah, they're kind of being sarcastic, but yeah, I'm not sure, because
are they just not wanting to do the work so they get him to do it for them? Is it like a Huck Finn kind of Tom Sawyer kind of thing?
Yeah, or maybe they're doing it to kind of like make him feel like
special.
Okay, yeah, they're making him feel special so that he can put more heart into the work to maybe get it done faster. Optimus sends Powerglide out to investigate. And yeah, this is the shot where Optimus is kind of rolling the ball along his shoulders like a Harlem Globetrotter. And Powerglide, he sees what appears to be two traitors. Grapple and Hoist are working with the Constructicons. And that breaks Optimus out of his basketball. Basketball dreams. Like, he goes into instant war mode. This is not a code magenta, it's a disaster code blue.
What?
Yeah.
But blue is a relaxing color.
Not for him. We cut back to the construction site, and there's one more piece, like kind of a New Year's ball on top of it.
Yes.
Yeah. And the only one, almost like in the Rudolph special, the only one that could put it on top is the big guy. And that big guy is
Devastator.
Yeah, one of my favorite guys. Who transforms very quickly in this
and
time.
Very loudly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, later on he takes like 2 minutes to combine. But
he's like, okay, first I gotta do my legs. Hold on. The legs take the longest.
In the comic, one guy that was having like taking a long time to transform. I was like, and 45 seconds later, he is complete.
Oh yeah.
37 seconds for Devastator to combine.
That's right. Yeah, in the Marvel comic, yeah, it was 37 seconds.
37 seconds.
Which if you time that, that's a very long time.
It's definitely like me trying to remember how to transform the toy. Like length of time of just like, wait, was it the arms first or the legs first?
Especially with Devastator, because the original G1 is a little tricky of a toy, because there's like it doesn't work on the template of the other guys. You need two of them to combine the centerpiece.
And I mean, like, there are just a ton of extra bits.
There are. I have the G2 one, the yellow one. I was never lucky enough to have the original green one, but. Yeah, it's cool because I think it was designed before the other combiners, right? So
it was
before they developed the.
It was from Diaclone.
And then we go to commercial two with Megatron rubbing his hands like the true villain he is.
Yes, well, as a Cybertronian, wouldn't that hurt?
Yeah, there should be like sparks grinding as he kind of. Yeah. But he comes in and he's just like, oh, this is my job now. I'm taking over. A little Rogue One-ish, I guess. You know, when Krennic builds it and then Grand Moff Tarkin, like, oh, I'm taking over duties now.
Wrong podcast.
Oh, yep. Sorry. There's not a ton to say about this part of the episode because it's just this huge fight. It just devolves into Optimus with his weird headlight lasers.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that because I did not remember them all shooting lasers out of their headlights.
No, not all the time. He shoots doesn't one time he shoot it out of his chest when he's in robot mode?
Yeah, they come over that hill and I was like, is this a normal thing? I don't remember.
It's not. The Autobots have had skis. More mm-hmm. than once already.
And surfboards.
Yeah, they've surfed on surfboards, but then their vehicle modes have sprouted skis so they could go into water mode. But yeah, I don't think they've had headlight lasers. Yeah, when Warpath shows up, like usually he says like blam pow, but this one he says wag zag zorge. What is that?
My favorite moment in this fight is when when Megatron's chest opens up and he pulls out binoculars.
Where do you have those tucked in?
Yeah. And that was just the episode earlier. He opened it up to put in the heart of Cybertron so he could be a superpowered Megatron.
Oh.
So yeah, he's like
he just took out the binoculars and that frees up a bit of room.
I just love when they have little bits of other things inside of them. Like they'll just open up and have like a wrench or something where you're like, can't you transform? Like, don't you, isn't that an option? Like, couldn't they just come down over his face or something? You know?
Well, that's what I kind of like with the G1 stuff, because in the more modern cartoons, like when they would fire a gun, their arm would turn into a gun. You know, it would transform itself. And I kind of like the old school stuff where they actually have to have their own weaponry.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
Yeah, like they have their own pistols or swords or whatever. Yeah, nowadays, I think maybe like the movies kind of started that. And I know Transformers Prime, their arms would manipulate into
still cool,
into their weapons. Yeah. I was like, because the toys were cool, especially when they would have like a peg where you could put the gun on their leg or something.
Yeah.
Or hide it.
It's just always funny because I'm like, I think I've seen, I don't, might have been Ratchet, but his arm could go in and then like another tool would come out sometimes.
There is that. Yeah, there is that. And like, and they're really weird things too. Like Ironhide's fist would retract and he would have like, did he have like kind of like fire extinguisher foam at one point?
He basically just pulled in his hand to reveal a gaping hole of
fire extinguisher stuff.
Yeah, some guys, their fist goes in and they shoot water. Like, they have mm-hmm. all this water in their body. Sometimes they have, like, electrical stuff.
This is just Kirby now.
Yeah. and even when, like, the show started, they were trying to establish, like, each guy had kind of their own little secondary power. Like, Mirage could turn invisible. Like, Hound could make projections. Kind of, right. Like, illusions and stuff. But
and Bumblebee has pink seats. Yeah. That's very cool.
But, yeah, I think they may have forgot about that or just kind of strayed away from that concept.
They're like, we need more than five guys.
Yes. And I think even with us watching these episodes one after another, it's very easy to lose track. So imagine being a writer or a producer on the show trying to keep track of who does what, especially when they change from episode to episode. Like, all right, guys, does Optimus shoot beams out of his headlights or what? Even if Autobots can fly or not, they still don't get that.
And even then, earlier this episode, we saw Devastator combine, and now we see this weird, like, crystal, almost the same effect as the solar power.
Yeah, you're right. So Devastator's combining, again, like not to put the thing on top of the solar device, but now he's combining to fight. And yeah, the animation it's decidedly different. It takes a lot longer, like we talked about, maybe not 37 seconds, but yeah, each piece glows.
It makes a crystally sound.
Yeah, that kind of tinkle sound effect.
It's funny because I haven't seen these in a while, so I was like, is that a normal thing? Or
it's not even normal within this episode.
Yeah, that's true.
He transforms two completely different ways. I do like kind of the lasery glow that goes across his visor when he's done transforming. I like that. And then it's Autobots versus Devastator. And that one shot where they're driving around the device and he's kind of like on the horizon and he's like 700 feet tall.
It's huge.
He's gigantic.
I mean, like, if you take into consideration how big each component is, he should be pretty small.
Well, at one point when he puts his arm in the ground and mm-hmm. Flips over the tank.
Yeah, Warpath,
His hand is like way bigger than the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing.
I remember in the first talking about the comics now, the first Dreamwave Transformers series, that was kind of the climax of the story where Devastator was loose in the city. And yeah, they made him complete kaiju size. Like he was Godzilla proportions. And it was a really cool moment. Like Optimus transforms and shoots him in the face. Like I had that cut out and on my office wall for years. I thought that was just an awesome moment, but it makes no sense. Like when they draw the tire is like three stories tall. If you're really playing with correct proportions. So I'll give it to him with that. Like, that's a cool shot when they come around the corner and he's standing there. And now he's
even then we have another meme. Ha ha. No.
Yeah. Oh, is that the same shot where he's laughing?
Yeah, he's laughing and then he shoots laser eye beams.
It is. Okay. And yeah, he reaches into the ground and reaches up through it to knock people over.
Speaking of special abilities, Cliff Jumper fires a glass gas.
Yeah, which Devastator knocks away with he just like sweeps the air and causes
he can like throw hurricane. Wind.
Megatron takes out his binoculars.
Which look like two-eyed shockwave.
Oh yeah, the near air collision with Power Glide and who is it?
Ramjet.
Oh, I was just gonna say there's that shot with them is really crazy looking because there's like a really insane perspective change that happens there where Ramjet's like super close to the screen, but the mountains or they might be just rocks on the ground. It's hard to tell. The scale
like
drastically changes. It's really funny.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Yeah, maybe they didn't mean for those mountains to be in the foreground. Yeah, it's really weird. Like the first two frames.
You're like, oh, am I just like 2 inches off the ground and that's just like rocks? I really appreciate that about the show, though, is that like they're like, we just got to get this done. And it looks cool, so it should air. Like, don't worry about it. It looks cool. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cracks in the ground reach the background when Devastator puts his hand up. Like, you telling me he cracked a mountain and, like, miles off in the distance?
Yeah, it's funny that you mention it, because the last two episodes, well, with Atlantis Arise and then Microbots were two previous episodes, and both of those in the third act had maybe, like, 10 to 15 seconds of, like, anime-quality animation. They were in a few shots. So I think, you know, I would love to know the production process, but it's like sometimes if they had enough time and like an animator was free, you know, they were working on some other anime. It's like, come over here and do this amazing shot where like Warpath fires out of his cannon and it kind of like zooms in and does kind of like the light roll around it with all the smoke and everything, and then has this kind of fisheye lens perspective as it crashes into a Decepticon. Like, there are those shots that sometimes they pull out. It's like, whoa, like, where did that come from? I don't think this episode gets to have any of those shots, though. I think Atlantis Arise, the third act of that is really, actually really good animation. The Autobots fire upon Devastator, and he crashes into Grapple's solar device.
Him in it.
Yeah. Hoist.
Heard about that till later.
Hoist and Grapple are buried. The Constructicons, they are unformed, and they kind of crawl out of the wreckage. And Megatron flies off before them. He's like, we're done.
I feel like Optimus, when he first gets there, he's like kind of concerned on where they could be. And then they do the fight, not even worrying about it. And it's obvious that they're in there. And then they're smashed. And then they're like, they're fine.
Yeah, well, even Spike's like, and we're going to rescue Hoist and Grapple, right? And Optimus is like, right. I should be practicing my free throws. But instead, he's like, come on, guys. Let's. And then it transitions to like Dusk. And they're all pulling up the wreckage.
And they find them in carbonite, practically.
Mm-hmm.
But Optimus definitely seems bitter. I think he wants to get back to shooting threes.
I like that they weren't able to get out themselves. Like, he had to, like, punch that thing, and they were able to be free, but, like, they couldn't just, like, wiggle out somehow.
I mean, yeah, they're engraved, just indented into the metal.
Yeah, they're in, like, this metal egg.
They look like they're in ravioli.
Yeah, they are.
Vacuum sealed ravioli.
Yeah. And Italians, two punches from Braun. Two punches from Braun and they're out. And then Optimus, clearly bitter about the whole thing. He's like, you know, we're going. Don't worry about it. Apology accepted. Pats him on the shoulder. And we're going back. But you can come with us, but then you're coming back and cleaning this up alone. Basically, clean up your room. I'm not going to help you. And
it's your fault this happened.
Yeah, it's all. Place. Yeah, he's like, you know, it's all your fault, guys. And they drive away with this really heroic music. Yeah, Optimus, he kind of thinks like, man, I did a really good job today. I found out the Decepticons. I blew up whatever they're trying to build.
I was a good parent.
Like, I know the Decepticons want to, you know, they want Earth because they're using it to harvest Energon, right? Like, that's kind of their goal. It feels like this really solves everyone's problem. Like, this thing really would have been, like, Decepticons could have been happy, Autobots are happy, everybody kind of gets what they need, but they're like, no, we can't have that.
Again, we've been here before. There's been there have been a few episodes where it's like, just let them have that. Because I guess it always leads to that Megatron will use that to fly back to Cybertron and take it over. So I think that's where it's like, no, we really should just stop them cold. But yeah, it almost like it gets so close to that. Like, maybe they should have a sit down and kind of try and come to terms and work out a deal, because clearly they do this every week.
We're so close to reaching an agreement.
And then it ends with Grapple picks up the model of the solar device, and Grapple and Hoist kind of they reminisce on it. They're like, man, remember when you're building that energy thing?
Yeah, just later. Just
yeah. Today. Remember that thing earlier today? Like, that was amazing. He did it, and he said, absolutely incredible. We had a good time, didn't we? And then it fades to black, and that's the end of the Master Builders. So again, a little bit of a swerve on your typical Transformers plot. So yeah, what did we think? We'll ask Sean as our guest. What did you think of the Master Builders?
I actually thought it was pretty fun. I mean, I haven't watched a bunch of these in a while, but it was like surprisingly not a boring one. Like occasionally you catch one of these and you're like, oh, that wasn't as fun as I remembered it, but it had a good pace. And I kind of liked the everyone kind of working together for a little while, and you didn't know. I don't know. You're kind of like, maybe Devastator could be an Autobot for a little bit.
Oh, one to 10. We usually give it one to 10.
Sorry. Let's do like a 6.
Okay. Elsa, what did you think?
I think I will give it a 7. Yeah, I think it was pretty good, but minus 1 point for Optimus not being a good parent.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet they're fine. We'll just go look for them.
I will give the same rating at 7 because it was good episode. Nothing wrong with it. Just felt bland-ish.
Yeah, we're coming off of Microbots, which was a pretty crazy episode where they shrink down inside of Megatron, and it's kind of like a fantastic voyage inside of Megatron to steal, disconnect the heart of Cybertron.
And also, you could have respected the shapes of Grapple and Hoist.
Yeah, I'll go with a 7 because we do get a spotlight on two characters that you really don't get to see a whole bunch. Bumblebee's barely in this episode.
Yeah, he's in it like once.
Yeah, which is very rare.
I guess I totally even missed him. I didn't even see him.
Yeah.
I was excited because Cliffjumper showed up for like a second, and he was always my favorite.
Oh, yeah. He's usually there with his bazooka or ready. He's ready to kill. Like, he's the guy that's just ready to run into battle. I always like when they focus on minor characters, and yeah, kind of the what is art to a Cybertronian? I kind of like that angle. So, okay, well, there we go. Yeah, Sean, thanks a lot for joining us on this episode.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or plug coming up?
Nothing too much right now, but something probably, just keep an eye out. There'll be something later this year, probably. But yeah, not much for now. You can always find my work at And Thank You on all the social networks, and my website's SeanDove.com.
Very cool. One more question before I go. So as still a quite new dad that you are, when you watch shows like this, which were kind of like clearly designed to be toy commercials, mm-hmm. like, does that kind of recontextualize the cartoons you grew up with now that you have a young one? Like, I don't think a lot of cartoons quite do that in the same way. I mean, there's like Paw Patrol and like PJ Masks, where shows that are hugely successful and are like merchandised to death, but like shows, I don't know, like Steven Universe or
regular show.
Yeah, like they don't.
Oh, they had a bit of merch.
The goal doesn't seem to be to sell toys.
Yeah, they're story first kind of shows.
Well, even like you kids are watching Amphibia right now. Is there any Amphibia. Like that seems like a show that you would go to a toy store and they would be action figures.
No,
just
no toys.
No.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen with that kind of stuff.
And that's a Disney show too.
Even then, Gravity Falls.
They do. Mm-hmm. Amphibia and Gravity Falls do have like T-shirts and stickers and stuff, but like no toys.
The Owl House.
I mean, Gravity Falls does have a plushie because it has a pig in it, but
yeah, it's like when they do make stuff. Yeah, like hats or shirts, mm-hmm. or kind of,
wearable merchandise.
Yeah, and like even with Transformers, it'd be remiss to overlook the Rescue Bots, because like I think that is the longest running show of a Transformers ever, and that's been going on for years, and they have had a lot of toys. So like in that regard, but yeah, like with kind of the more advanced Transformers, like they're still kind of, most of the stuff they come out with now are playing into the G1 models, the G1 characters. They're not really doing a whole lot of new things. There's a new Nickelodeon show coming out, which I think they're introducing new characters. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. It's not the same as it was when we were growing up, where like every show, of course, every show had toys because the shows were made to sell the toys.
Yeah. Porter's only one now. So it's like, we're not to the cartoon stuff yet, you know? So it's like, I haven't really...
You're not watching the Master Builders with her yet?
No. I'm more at the stage where you're like, oh, are these things that I, you know, excited to introduce someday? Or, you know, like you kind of make the list in your head of like, what would be fun to watch at some point, you know?
There's stuff I want to introduce to them, but also like, let them watch their own stuff.
Right. It's right. Yeah. Oh, there's that balance. You're like...
I do.
Let them... they should find their own things to obsess about.
Mm-hmm.
But also you're like, but you should see this Thundercats or whatever.
Well, that's a fun part about being a parent. You get to justify watching cartoons and even making podcasts about them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Sean. And we hope everyone else will join us next week on a new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.